Our summer Bible school challenge has been to read through the book of Proverbs 3 times in this summer. And I think it has been a rich study for me. It has been one of those where even especially turning right around and reading it again, I've missed something that previous time. And I pick up on something new. And one of the things that certainly keeps jumping off the page is the topic of wisdom. Who will be wise versus the idea of the foolish one or the fool? And so that back and forth, that comparison is used over and over in the book of Proverbs. And I think it's probably in that way one of the richest studies that we could do for daily living. It helps us. And these Proverbs are written in a general way. They are wise, pithy sayings, if you will, and they are written in such a way so they help us in our daily lives. Sometimes we can see those things where they might be applied to a religious setting, but most of these things that we read about in the Proverbs are just everyday living. How are we living our lives? Well, what does it look like for the one who is wise in their life? And there's wisdom there that is that begins first with the fear of the Lord, as we studied in our class this morning about parenting even. And then you have the other side of the story, the other side of the coin, if you will. We can see what happens to those who would be foolish in their living, the choices that they would make. And so you have those instructions that are given and calling out, saying, "My son, listen to these words and do not despise the instruction or the wisdom that comes from your mother as well." And so you can see the attempt to teach and to help and to give instruction and to help us by inspiration in our daily living. Wisdom in the book of Proverbs, interestingly enough, is personified by a woman. And sometimes I wonder, why is that? And then I remember that I've been married. This November 5th will be 30 years. And I remember, there's a lesson that I've learned over those 30 years. She's usually right. I say usually, I get it. Every once in a while I might have a moment. But usually she's right. And the book of Proverbs, though, is filled with those warnings to which those who would be wise would heed. They would listen to. They would take that instruction. And they would make changes in their lives if they need to, versus the fool or the foolish one who will give in to immorality, such as mentioned in the previous chapters, of which, if you're following along the schedule, you're reading Proverbs chapter 6 today and chapter 7 tomorrow. And there's a woman that's mentioned in both of those chapters that we're warned about to stay away from, men especially. And so you have that immoral woman who's going to attempt to seduce and to try to pull away that good man away from what he's supposed to be doing. You find that, especially in chapter 6, looking at verse 24 and 25. The end of verse 23 says, "Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." What are they for? Verse 24, "To keep you from the evil woman, from her flattering words, from her flattering tongue of seductress." And then it says, "Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids." And then he goes on to talk about, "For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to even a crust of bread." And so there's a warning in chapter 6 and 7 about this immoral woman. And in chapter 7 and verse 12, she's the one who is seemingly lurking around every corner, right? Verse 12 tells us in chapter 7. And so you have the immoral woman, the seductress, if you will, the one who would cause us to be foolish in our ways, and if we give into that, then we're given into the ways of the world and so forth, versus chapter 8, where you have wisdom personified as a woman that we're supposed to be following, that we're supposed to be leaning upon, because we find truth in her. We find a way of proper discretion and judgment in our lives. We can make choices better because we're following her. That is, we're following wisdom there in chapter 8. And it's very similar to how the Proverbs begin, really, in chapter 1. Wisdom calls out aloud, and then it says, "She." You see, wisdom personified as this woman. "She raises her voice in the open squares," out in the open market. "She cries out in the chief concourse." And so right there in the way, in the main thoroughfare, if you will, right in the middle of the city. She's out there. She's crying out. She's calling out. She speaks her words right there in the gates and the openings of the city. How long will you simple ones love simplicity? Scorners, how long will you delight in scorning? And fools, how long will you hate knowledge? And she's crying out, turn at my rebuke and my reproof. Surely, she says, I will pour out my spirit on you and make my words known to you. And so you have this wisdom being personified as a woman who's crying out, follow me, turn away from your evil ways and the ways of the world. Follow good wisdom and instruction, having the proper fear of the Lord. That's how this book begins, verse 7. And so as we keep that in mind and think about these things, how the book opens up, let's get into then chapter 8 together. And let's look first at the plea of wisdom. She desires to be heard. She wants to be heard. She's, in fact, going to be heard. And you see this in the verses where Jim read just a moment ago. Does not wisdom cry out? Does not understanding lift up her voice? And so again, we see it as in chapter 1. She takes her stand at the top of the hill, right? Beside the way, where the paths meet. And so even at the crossroads of life, so to speak, right there in the middle of the city where the paths meet, where everything comes together, at the top of the high hill, she's out there and she's crying out. She desires to be heard. She wants her voice to be heard. One of the lessons that we will learn as we study Scripture is that idea of being heard, of God being heard, literally means that not just do we audibly hear it. I mean, she's desiring to be heard. She's crying out from the top of the hill. She's there in the middle of the city. She's there where the crossroads are, where everybody comes by. And she's crying out. She desires to be heard. But what does it really mean to hear? It means that we're going to not just audibly take that in, what she's saying, but we're going to do what she says, right? We're going to follow wisdom. We're going to follow where that leads. And so you see this crying out, this lifting up her voice from the top of the hills and not lurking around the corners, so to speak. Not hidden around trying to say, hey, come over here in some way. No, it's a cry. Listen to what I have to say. She desires to be heard. And she desires to be heard by all, is what we find verses 4 and 5. By the sons of men, by ones who are considered simple ones, if you will. He says, or it's written here, it says, to you, O men, I call my voices to the sons of men. All of mankind needs to hear what wisdom has to say. And then in verse 5, even simple ones, understand prudence. The idea of making those good choices based on the best information that you could possibly have, based on divine instruction. That's prudence. That's where you take integrity, the one where you say you're being honest with yourself and honest with others around you, and you listen to instruction that is given from God, and you take that and you make wise choices based on that information. This idea, and he says, simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. She doesn't give up on the foolish. Never through the book of Proverbs do you read where God is giving up on the foolish. There is a constant warning. There is a cry. Come back to me. Turn at my reproof. Change your ways and live ultimately. And we find that not only in the Proverbs, but we find it being preached by the prophets of old as well. And so she desires to be heard by all. Why? Because she desires to give some great things, some excellent things, some right things, things that should be plain and right and able to be seen. Look at verse 6. It says, listen, for I will speak of excellent things. What wisdom will teach us will be of things that are of excellence. You think about what Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, those things that are excellent, those things that are worthy of praise. You think on these things. He says, from the opening of my lips will come right things, things that lead ultimately to righteousness, doing the things the right way in life. And he says, she says, my mouth is going to speak the truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips, and all the words of my mouth are with righteousness. And there's nothing crooked or perverse in them. They're plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, not silver, and knowledge rather than even choice gold. The things that she has are proven to be better than even fine gold or fine silver, all the rubies of the world. Wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that one may desire cannot be compared. All the things that we might want in this life, God says nothing compares to wisdom. Who will be wise? She desires to be heard. She desires to be heard by all. And she desires to impart great things to us. And so wisdom is crying out. Will we listen to her? And maybe to encourage us to do so, we read further into the chapter here. And we see why it's so important. Because of the value of wisdom. What it does in our lives. The possibilities that are there because of that wisdom. And it's the value of wisdom is seen in what she possesses here. She dwells with prudence. She dwells with knowledge. She dwells with discretion. And when you start putting these things together, as I tried to illustrate a moment ago with the idea of having that integrity within one's own self, that I'm going to be honest, that my words are going to count for something, that I'm going to be true to myself, to my God, to everyone who is around me, and really be open about those things. Prudence. Taking that to add knowledge and discretion. Therein, I'm able to make better choices in this life. And this is so valuable for us today as children of God, because we learn how to be the people that God wants us to be by listening to what wisdom has to say. She dwells with prudence, with knowledge, with discretion. And where does it all begin? Let's read these verses together. Beginning in verse 12, down through verse 14. I, wisdom, I dwell with prudence, and I find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And this is something that you will see again, jump off the page over and over. The more that you read it, the more that you're going to see this phrase. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You're going to see that phrase, the fear of the Lord, over and over. Pride and arrogance, though, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth, wisdom hates. Counsel is mine. Sound wisdom is mine. I am understanding is what she's crying out. And I have strength. We'll get there in just a moment. But here she is. Prudence, knowledge, discretion. And she says that the fear of the Lord encourages one to steer clear, to hate even evil and pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth. Those who would speak such evil things in this life. What she possesses, though, is counsel. What she possesses is soundness in her wisdom and her teaching. And what that does for us, that gives us strength. That gives us strength to face the day, to face whatever situation that we're in life. And again, these Proverbs, they go to really general life principles. And so what we find maybe in the workplace or maybe at school, our young people are going back to school this week, and I'm so proud of them, and I'm proud of the decisions that they have made so far to be pleasing unto God. And I pray, and I know that you are praying for them as well, that they will continue in that. But parents, grandparents, and all of those around them, let's huddle around them. Let's show them what this looks like in our lives so that they can see the way that they need to go, so that wisdom is crying out for them to follow as well. And they're seeing that example in our life. They're seeing that example of discretion. They're seeing good, wise counsel given to them in their lives. And so we see then she ultimately is understanding. And what that does, that gives strength. That gives courage. We can stand and we can stand tall and we can stand up. Stand up for Jesus as we so often will sing. And so the value of wisdom is seen in what she possesses. But it's also seen in what she gives. What she offers, if you will. And we read this in verses 15 down through verse 21. By me, kings reign. Rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule, nobles, and all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me. Those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit better than gold, yea, fine gold. And my revenue than choice silver. What I have to give is better than gold and silver and rubies. And this is twice that that point has been made. That I may cause that those who love me will ultimately inherit wealth. That I may fill their treasuries. Some might take this as some of the wealth and prosperity preachers that are on TV sometimes today. We'll talk about if you'll give to me, then you'll have wealth. No, if you give to God, He will be pleasing and will give back to you. And you can be promised of that. Throughout Scripture, we find that to be the case. Are you going to be rich as maybe the next one? Maybe not. You're going to be given those things that you need in life. And in that, once you find contentment, you're going to have the wisdom that God gives from above to know how to use those things. And then God gives more responsibility to you. And you're going to find wisdom and discretion to use those things the right way to be pleasing unto God. And God will continue to bless you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 is full of that lesson about giving unto the Lord. See what wisdom gives to kings, to princes, to nobles, to judges. The ability to give and decree justice to those who love her. Those who seek after her, enduring riches and righteousness, and that which ultimately is better than even the wealth of this world. Doesn't the value of wisdom make us want to listen to what she has to really hear and make those applications in our lives? And so we continue to read then of the possession of this wisdom. And we find it really by the Lord. Alongside of the Lord, here's wisdom, alongside of the Lord, before creation. Watch how this is worded, beginning of verse 22. The Lord possessed me, wisdom says, possessed me at the beginning of His way, even before His works of old. So before creation. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning before there was ever an earth. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. Wisdom was seen in God before creation, beginning of His way. Before the works of old, it says, established from everlasting. And what we begin to pick up on is this personification of wisdom. Wisdom then is seen with God as part of God even before creation. What does this say then? This is about God, isn't it? Ultimately, we're getting a picture of God before the creation, before the mountains were settled, before the hills were formed and so forth, before the earth was created, before the primal, literally the beginning of the dust of the world. That's the picture that's given by that word primal there in verse 26. And so what do we see? Before even creation, wisdom was there. Alongside of the Lord in His act of creation. When the Lord prepared the heavens, verse 27 says, I was there. Was there at the creation. Why? Because you see the very wisdom of God in that. When the Lord drew a circle upon the face of the deep. when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned the sea to its limits, when he marked out the foundation of the earth, literally before the creation of the earth, verses 27 through 29, she was beside him as a master craftsman. Verse 30, first part of that verse. She was part of the rejoicing of creation, part of the delight of creation, right alongside as a master craftsman, as the world was being formed, as the hills were being formed, as the mountains were being settled, as the fountains were being formed. It's a beautiful picture when we think about wisdom personified here before the creation, even then alongside of God during the creation. So what does that mean for us? It means that we find the blessing of wisdom. And it's seen in this chapter, in the last few verses, verse 32 through 36. "Now therefore listen to me, my children. Blessed are those who keep my way. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting for the post of my door. Whoever finds me finds life, obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me is wronging his own soul. All those who hate me love death." What do we find here? For those who are willing to keep her ways. This goes back to wisdom's crying out. She desires for all to hear, for all to hear what she is offering to mankind. She's ultimately offering life. And for those who are willing to keep her ways, in other words, do what she has to say, follow her instruction. What does it say? They're blessed, verse 32. They're blessed in this. We find a beatitude here. They are blessed. And so hear instruction and be wise and do not hate, do not disdain that instruction, verse 33. For those who are willing to listen intently, for those who have the mind not just to hear it and maybe make some changes in their life, but those who then will dig in because they know where this fountain of strength comes from, this source of strength and blessing that we have in our life, they know that, and so they dig in. They dig in daily. They want to know, what is it that God has in store for me? What is it that God wants for me in this life? What is it that He's teaching me so that I can go and I can be the better person, I can be the person that He wants me to be? For those who will listen intently, again, another beatitude, they're blessed, right? They're blessed. And so what does He say? Watch daily and wait. Oh, here's a picture that is given of endurance. Sometimes we're crying out for wisdom to show us. We're crying out and we're asking God for that wisdom. Remember, we studied James recently where we talked about it, to ask, if we need wisdom, to ask of God who gives to all men liberally and will not be angry with Him, James 1 and verse 5. And so we ask and we're crying out ourselves for wisdom to be able to understand, to be able to see things from God's vantage point, to be able to see things from His viewpoint, to better understand what it is in our lives. That doesn't always happen just like that with a snap of a finger. That doesn't always happen directly because we've gone into our closets and we're praying but He says, wait. Wait for it. The answers are coming. The wisdom is coming. And you're going to have to show some patience sometimes in this life. The things that are going on in life, they're happening, and they're happening like this, right? All around us. And we've got to be ready for that. And so we prepare ourselves as best we can, but I may not have every answer that I need at every moment. He says, watch daily and wait. Telling us to endure. Telling us to be patient. And those who intently will listen, they find life. They obtain favor, grace, literally. They obtain grace from the Lord. They obtain strength to help in a time of need. Psalm 46 and verse 1. They find that we're not to fret in this life. Psalm 37, that we can delight in the Lord. We can heed His ways. We can follow Him no matter what's going on around us. No matter what evil may betide, as we sometimes sing. We can still do God's will in our life, but we need that wisdom. And this then immediately applies as we're walking out the doors. This immediately applies to our lives in the way that we live daily. Not just as we've come together to worship God and we have our minds cleared for worship and we want to offer the very best. And while we're here, we typically are our very best, right? But when we go out those doors, we need that wisdom for guidance. We need that to help us. And so, what will we choose? We choose to be wise. We choose wisdom who cries out to be heard, sharing her understanding and her knowledge, truth and righteousness for us, to bless our lives with grace and blessedness that's offered by God. To whom will we listen? By comparison, would it be the ways of the world, personified by what we find in Proverbs 6 and 7, by that woman of the world and her immoral ways? Or will we choose wisdom, the wisdom of God, to follow her in the way of the Lord? And wisdom offers pardon through Jesus Christ. So we simply ask, do you believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God? Are you willing to confess His name before men? Matthew 10, 32. Are you willing to repent of sin that's in your life? Acts 17, verse 30. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Are you willing to be baptized to wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord? Acts 22, 16. As Ananias told Saul, "Rise, why are you tarrying? Why are you waiting? Why are you lingering behind? Arise and be baptized to wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Following His wisdom, His way, so that we could be saved, so that we could be washed, cleansed, freed from our sin. Then are we living daily, faithful to Him? We're just here together as a family a couple hours a week. We want it to be more. We wish it could always be more. But when we walk out those doors, how are we living our lives? Is it by wisdom, personified here in chapter 8 for us? Are we following God's ways? Are we living faithful to Him? If not, then we need to repent. Ask God to forgive us. If we can help in some way, come to the front while we stand, while we sing.